Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Guys, welcome to this bonus episode of Pop Kitchen. Thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't listened to 122 already, we reviewed Mother's Instinct and Monkey Man. So go and check that out if you haven't already. Today, George is going to be reviewing Ambulance, a Michael Bay film.
Un film de Michael Bay, Ambulance.
Yes. I just want to briefly say that we caught up very briefly about things that we'd watched, and I ended up on Netflix watching like the first 40 minutes of The Martian, and that film is so easy to watch. It's so watchable, and I was equating it down to, you know, it's very well made and it's bright and it's lots of different characters, but it's got lots of great short scenes that layer over each other. Obviously, I've seen the film twice. That's like my sort of 2.5 time of seeing it, and I'm like, oh, this is so easy and so watchable. It was on that thing on the Netflix where it was the first thing on my homepage and started playing, and I was like, yeah, I'll put this on.
Watchable is such a good quality in a film that's often overlooked, and it can actually be an insult. You go, oh, it's watchable.
No.
But actually sometimes it's like, oh, it's really watchable.
Yeah.
I would also say Independence Day. I caught like the last 40 minutes of that recently, and I was like, this is so watchable.
And Jeff Daniels is just so... Mark Watney.
Robert Downey... Oh, you do, no, Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels.
Yes, you sound a little bit Robert Downey.
He's doing these press conferences and...
he's always slightly...
No. Will you be resigning, sir? No. Mark Watney.
But this is going to be a different episode because it's more of a casual chat because, you know... James and I go and see new releases every week, right? Yeah. We do that. But it's nice sometimes when we get a bit of chance. It was the Easter weekend.
Yeah, it was.
We go and watch older films, films we might have missed.
Stick something on.
So I've got two films. I've got Ambulance, which came out 2 years ago. And I've got Copland, which came out 27 years ago.
Yeah.
25, 27 years ago. Let's begin with Ambulance.
Before you go into Ambulance, I first became aware of Ambulance, you know, trailer marketing, whatever. But there is a huge... use of FPV drones in that film. And like, I watch a lot of filmmaking YouTube, like gear reviews and drones. And like, I really admire what FPV drones do for like a very specific use case of like soaring through cliffs, landscapes, all of this stuff that really sort of gives you that literal bird's eye view. Imagine a bird was soaring. But all in all, I find it to be like horrendously distracting and has very little use case for like proper commercial branded work. Like often for a drone, you want to replicate a helicopter, like steady, still, easy to sort of understand landscape. And I remember seeing like shots and like these filmmakers talking about the incredible FPV work of Ambulance, and I just remember thinking, this looks fucking awful. Not in terms of the quality of it, but just in terms of like, it makes me feel sick, and it doesn't make sense for a camera to swoop to such an extent.
You would be changing your opinion if you saw Ambulance.
Because it was awesome.
Oh, the drones, James.
Were they brilliant?
I don't know if Michael Bay got given a drone for like a birthday present or something, but like, what a great manna from heaven moment where it just falls into his lap, because that is one of the highlights of the film.
Then I take it all back.
The swooping...
Look, I'm surprised it's not being worked into the next Transformers when...
Megatron!
I'm doing it. But anyway, I'll leave it with you.
So let's just... the reason I watched Ambulance is because when it came out, a lot of talk was sort of given to the fact that Michael Bay was no longer making films about Transformers. He was making what for Michael Bay is quite a stripped down movie about four characters in a vehicle for 2.5... Well, you know, a bit shy of 2.5 hours. It's got a very, very 90s feel about the whole thing.
Speed.
It is like bank heist. It's a high-speed car chase. And I said, I put this on Letterboxd, but it's basically like Michael Bay took the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, mixed it with Keanu Reeves' Speed. Then stirred in a bit of GTA 5 and with a little bit of Die Hard thrown in. And that's what you have. And it's very L.A. The film actually begins and it says L.A. And then the L.A. becomes Ambulance. Okay, so here's the premise. It's good fun to talk about if you haven't seen it, because yeah. I tried to describe it to a friend yesterday and they were like, what? Okay, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II plays a great name, by the way. Okay. I also really like him as an actor. Yeah, he's just a really great presence. He's a veteran, can't get any work, got a baby.
I really pictured the other kind of vet. Yeah. I just imagined him just holding a kitten, driving down the highway.
He's a veteran who's struggling financially. He's got his brother, your spiritual brother of Jake Gyllenhaal, who is a super sick crime guy who's very good at robbing banks. At one point, an FBI agent says, do you know who that is? It's like, that's Jake Matthews. He's robbed 37 banks in the past 10 years.
Go arrest him.
And I'm like, yeah, if you know that, why isn't he arrested? Anyway,
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Also, can I say, Jake Matthews. It was Easter Sunday on an afternoon. I really needed a movie like this. And I want to just say, like, yeah. I had, for the most part, a fairly decent time with it. It's a pretty batshit film. But anyway, So his brother's Jake Gyllenhaal. He goes to Jake Gyllenhaal. He's like, man, I need a job. I need some money. He's like, well, you're in luck because we're about to pull off the biggest bank heist you've ever seen. And he's like, no. I just need like a normal job. He's like, no. We've got an armored car ready to go.
You meet someone who's just existing at life in a completely different sphere.
And funnily enough, we need a driver. Well, no, not even a driver. We need a guy like you to hold a gun and come in and do crowd control. How does that sound? And he's like, okay, I'll do it. So they go to the biggest bank in LA. They, you know, it's very slick. They drive down, they get inside, all that stuff. And then it just cuts to these two cop characters who we've never seen, who are in the middle of a conversation. And this cop is saying to the other cop, oh, wow, you were really attracted to that bank teller, weren't you? And he's like, yeah, man, I was really, like, I felt like chemistry, but I didn't say anything. He's like, we need to take you back to the bank so you can go back and speak to that bank teller. So he spins the car around. And while he's doing this, by the way, he references the Michael Bay movie, The Rock. He's like, you know, Sean Connery says that line in the movie The Rock. You know, losers stay at home, winners gonna fuck the prom queen. That's what you've got to do. And I'm like, Michael Bay?
You can't reference your own movie.
That's such a, like, put your head out your ass.
You can't, like, put yourself in pop culture in that way. It's to be like, well, of course they'd be talking about a movie of mine.
They put up outside the bank and he's like, we're just gonna be like Bad Boys, okay? And I'm like, Bad Boys, another Michael Bay movie, right? It is a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm like, two Michael Bay dropping two references to himself. Just like, okay, self-pleaser. Anyway, one cop goes in, the other cop waits outside. Cop goes in to smooth talk the bank teller. Little does he know, Jake Gyllenhaal's playing the manager and all the people behind the desk are actually got guns pointed at them from underneath the desk. He tries to talk to her. Basically, things kick off. The thing goes awry. Huge shootout at the bank. Lots of SIS secret police agents turn up because they were tracking the heist. Guns, shootout. People run over by lorries. People, explosions. Guys with big guns going boom, 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 boom. And it ends with... I haven't even mentioned the other plot that's colliding with this. So you have this huge bank heist happening. Concurrent to this, you have Isa Gonzalez in an ambulance being driven by her new co-worker. She's the EMT, the paramedic working in the back. And the film begins. She's like, oh, we've got a call. And it's like, yes, a child has been impaled. And I'm thinking... What a horrible place to begin this movie. And she turns up at this horrific car crash and there's a child in the back seat and this car has gone through like metal railings and this metal railing is poking through this child. And this child, who I think would probably be dead, is like, help, help. And she's like, you're going to be okay. We're going to do this. We're going to, you know, medical jargon, yeah. EMT, blah, 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 blah. And they managed to get this kid off this pole and take her into the hospital. Anyway, they're around the corner. Shit kicks off. The police guy who went into the bank, who gets taken hostage by Jake Gyllenhaal, he gets shot. The paramedics turn up to save the cop. Jake Gyllenhaal and the guy poke around the corner, hijack the ambulance, kick the driver off, and are able to leave the scene because they're in an ambulance, right? They flee the scene. So that it's Jake Gyllenhaal, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and Isa Gonzalez, and this wounded police officer in the titular ambulance. Pretty soon the police are like, wait, that ambulance has the guys in it. But they're like, wait, we can't shoot the ambulance. We can't stop the ambulance because there's a wounded cop in there. Yeah, and she's trying to save his life. So that's why I said that the O.J. Simpson Bronco Chase thing is there, because they're just kind of following the ambulance without ever trying to stop it. That's the basic setup. It's pretty ludicrous. James, there is a bit, I was trying to describe this to a friend yesterday, where this is about an hour into the movie where she just realizes that the cop has another bullet wound and it's just been bleeding out. I mean, he would be so dead, but like, she's like, oh my God. She like rips off the jacket. We've got to save him. And like, Yahya Abdul-Mateen's character jumps in the back. He's like, I'll help you. And she's like, the bullet's in his spleen, but I'm not a surgeon. I had to quit medical school because I was addicted to speed. You can just imagine the writer going, speed. Yeah, literally. Like, I think it'll be speed. And I was like, okay, but you managed to still qualify as a paramedic. So she, in the back of this ambulance that's going 60 miles an hour, she FaceTimes her ex-boyfriend, who is a surgeon, and he's like, wait, what are you talking about? Wait, the thing in LA, that's you? She's like, yeah, I need you to help me sew this guy up and get this bullet out of his spleen. He's like, let me conference call in my other surgeon friend who's on a golf course right now. So you've got these two surgeons on a golf course, her ex-boyfriend who's a surgeon on this other side, who are FaceTiming her on this, I guess, medical-issued laptop that you get in ambulances. And she's like, I have to get the bullet out of him, but we're out of anesthetic. And so, like, she literally, like, puts her hand in his gut and opens it like that, right? And then he wakes up and he's like, oh, what's going on? She's like, her hand's in his stomach. And they're like, you need to knock him out. You need to knock him out. So Yaya just fucking punches the guy and knocks him out. He's like, he's out cold. Anyway, they're like, can you get to the spleen? Can you get to the spleen? Meanwhile, the battery's running low on the FaceTime.
Oh,
and they're like,
God,
you need to pull the bullet out of the spleen, but don't let the spleen rupture. If it ruptures, he's got 60 seconds unless you clamp it. So it's really tense. The ambulance moving. She pulls the bullet out. She's like, I got it. And then the spleen just explodes. A balloon. Just
spoilers.
Like, yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I mean, this is a spoiler-filled conversation. Yeah. And they're like, "Oh my god, his spleen's ruptured!" And the surgeon's like, "Wait, wait, wait!" And then the FaceTime goes dead. The battery goes dead on the laptop. And I'm like, "What do we do? What do we do?" And she's like, "Wait, they said clamp it. I've got a clamp.
Is he still not dead?"
Yeah. And she takes the hair clip clamp, clamps it on his spleen, and then like sews him up. And there's a point again. This does have spoilers. There's a point later in the movie where he's like, this is like 3 hours later, he sat up in a hospital bed and he's just like, that's the man that saved my life. And I'm like, you
would sue.
You would not be able to talk. You would not be able, like, the bruising, the trauma you've gone through.
The blood loss.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, and she's just like hooking him up to one of the bank robbers to like get the blood. And I'm like, but that guy's going to need like a Mars bar soon. You can't just take his blood and not have him notice.
Surprise, it's a stick of gum to like keep these skin together.
That's the kind of batshittery that we're dealing with this. But
fucking
amidst
hell.
All of that, you have swooshing drones.
Does it make sense? Like, does that camera movement feel, I don't know, disorienting?
No, it feels really good.
I think it works.
It's so fluid. It just grows. Because also, you know, Michael Bay is a big fan of the whole spin around.
Yeah, the parallax.
The parallax. He does that several times, but then he does that with drones. And it's actually, I have to say, there was just a couple of times I thought, that was really great camera work. Yeah. I liked it.
Okay.
It's nuts. It's bonkers. It's a bit too long. But if you like a very 90s, very cheesy, stripped down for Michael Bay, but while he's experimenting with new technology.
What you just described is stripped down Michael Bay is astounding.
I know. I have spoiled a middle point sequence for you there.
I think you get it.
I think, the film's been out 2 years.
Ambulance.
Ambulance. That's it, because they drive an ambulance. And
I think we should forever refer to that film as Ambulance.
Ambulance. Yeah. So that is Ambulance. If you've seen Ambulance and you liked it or disagree or think it's a masterpiece,
do you think like the LA Film Commission or whoever sort of did that like really?
Oh,
it's Ambulance.
It's an LA.
We're in LA, baby. This is an LA Ambulance.
I bet they were like, here are all the tax cuts we'll give you. Here's a scenic tour.
We'll let you film on the highway, but it's Ambulance.
And I saw a lot of LA. And I was like, I feel like I got to talk. The aqueduct up near the airport. Yeah. I mean, basically, it's GTA 5.
Yeah,
it really is. I was like, this could be Los Santos.
Yeah.
Ambulos Santos. Anyway, that was very fun it's quite fun to watch. And it's very fun to talk about.
That
and I don't think I've seen a Michael Bay movie in a long time because I just avoided Transformers. I haven't seen Pain and Gain.
I've seen Pain and Gain. It's a very macho, very aura-saturated.
Yeah, I didn't see 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi either.
I didn't see that.
And now, can I gear change to
the
film?
Gear change, yeah.
So that was a crazy, silly, work. And then I actually watched a really overlooked, I kind of feel like seemingly forgotten movie called Copland. Have you heard of this movie?
Only recently because you mentioned it.
So it's on Netflix in the UK at the moment. That's why it struck my attention. So, directed by James Mangold, who
I recognize the poster.
Yeah, James Mangold, a kind of one of like a solid director. He's directed, you know, in the early 90s, he did things like this. He did Girl Interrupted, but he also did Walk the Line, Logan, Ford v Ferrari, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yep.
And he's got
Wolverine.
He's got something else big coming up. He's basically a big director. People give him big projects now. But this was his first, actually, I think his first major work with a lot of major talent. So, Copland. Are you reading the plot or should I tell you?
No, I'm just cleaning up the thing.
So, Copland is a movie, get this, starring Robert De Niro, boom. Harvey Keitel, boom.
Great.
Ray Liotta, boom. Sylvester Stallone, boom. And then there's loads of people in it who are like just so 90s. Like you might not know their names, but when you see their faces, like Michael Rapaport or Janine Garofalo, like you're just like, oh yeah, I've seen that guy in loads of 90s stuff. Robert Patrick, who plays the Terminator, villain Terminator, Terminator 2, he's in this. Great. He's got a moustache. He's so sleazy.
Yeah, so 90s.
So it's like a really solid crime. You know, this is the kind of crime film, and it's the kind of film that, like, I watched it with my parents that they would really enjoy, and they'd never heard of it. And I watched it, I was like, why did we forget this one? So basically, one thing I've never always, I don't think we appreciate or quite get as Brits is the American system of law enforcement, how an area will have a sheriff's department, and then above that you have the kind of wider, like, metropolitan area will have police, and you've got state police, and then you've got FBI. But they all have different jurisdictions.
Because
right?
a number of times they're like, you're no longer in control of the situation.
Yeah.
FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have clearance, the thing.
Whereas like in the UK, like police, you obviously have different police forces for different areas, but it's like they can work together.
They appear to us as one entity.
Yeah, they are all one entity, right? But you have this really specific set. Hang on, wait. Yeah. But it's a really, really interesting plot where it's about New York cops who have deliberately done overtime. It's about New York cops who aren't, you're not, as a New York cop, the premise says, you're not allowed to live outside of New York, right?
Right.
But what these cops have done is they've, unless you're a transit cop, only a transit cop is allowed to live outside of New York because they're doing, you know, transport and all that stuff. But then what these New York cops did is they did overtime in the transit department, which means that they could be registered as auxiliary transit officers, which meant they could live outside of New York. So what this is about is like a little cop haven that sprung up in this town called Garrison in New Jersey. This is not a true story, but this is the premise of the film. So all these cops get to live in New Jersey away from the craziness of New York, but they are kind of also away from the jurisdiction of New York. So you have this sort of little enclave. It's full of cop town. All the cop wives live there. And they all gather at this cop bar called the Four Aces. No civilians go there. It's just all cops.
Yeah.
And the sheriff of that town is played by Sylvester Stallone. And he is a guy who desperately wanted to be a cop for all of his life. But he had an accident when he was younger, a heroic accident. But he damaged his hearing in his left ear, which means that he can't qualify for the force. So the best he can do is be a sheriff of this cop town where nothing really happens, him and two deputies. And his life, I have to just say, Sylvester Stallone in this movie is probably the best I have ever seen him. Yeah. I don't think I would ever have necessarily equated him with a good performance. He's someone who carries the weight of being Sylvester Stallone with him everywhere.
He's great in Creed 1.
Yes, he's good. I mean, he's doing the big thing. And he is Rocky in that movie. He is still big. I mean, yes, he is good in that.
Yeah, he's got cancer and he's like, he brings another weight to it, which I thought was really good in Creed 1.
Yes, but I think other than that, I would never really associate him with actually like getting into a role. In this, he's great. He really plays this kind of like wounded bear who's lumbering around this town, who's really sad. He really feels like a puppy. You kind of want to go, I'm sorry you didn't make the force, Chief. That's really sad. Anyway, he's looking after this town. Meanwhile, Harvey Keitel runs this cop town, and his nephew is involved in an altercation literally on the bridge to New Jersey. So it's right on the borderland. And he gets, there's this massive scuffle about whether the police are planting evidence. So these two people get killed, this huge scuffle. And then seemingly Harvey Keitel's nephew kills himself by jumping off the bridge, except he didn't jump off the bridge. Harvey Keitel made people think that, and what he was actually doing was squirreling him away to New Jersey to keep him safe.
Oh, wow.
Right? So there's all this stuff. And this kicks up a whole lot of flurry. Robert De Niro comes over from New York to Sylvester Stallone basically says, I don't have any jurisdiction here, but I work for internal affairs, which obviously means he's keeping check on the cops himself. He's like, you're like the sheriff of Copland here. It must be hard, but you need to let me know if you see anything that is suspicious. So on the one hand, he's got Robert De Niro telling him to do the right thing. On the other hand, Sylvester Stallone is desperate to be in with the Harvey Keitels and you know, the Robert Patricks. Also thrown into this mix is Ray Liotta playing fully coked up Ray Liotta. Yeah. When Ray Liotta, I'm so sad he's died. He's such a great actor.
So good.
His bulging eyes, sort of coked out face. yeah. And there's a great bit where he has a fight with Robert Patrick involving a dart. And it's just like, it's really sort of, oh God. Yeah. Ray Liotta's sort of there. He's kind of been being pushed out of the action. He's kind of coked up and he's a bit of a loose cannon. And you kind of have this pot boiler. And I was watching this, I was thinking, I'm quite into this. Also, Sylvester Stallone is fawning over this wife of one of the police officers who he desperately cares for. And the police officer she's with is a real dirtbag who's also corrupt. And I was like, this is good drama. You have corrupt cops, which is already a good premise, in a tucked away town, overseen by someone who worships cops, wants to be a cop, but can't be a cop themselves. You've got the tension between the fact that it's technically the sheriff's jurisdiction there, but all of these cops are more senior in the city, like the tension between the two law enforcements. And it plays out in this really satisfying way. And in the last third, it kind of becomes a bit like a neo-Western, where you get this sense that Stallone is the last sheriff standing against a corrupt, mucky town. I was really impressed. Solid, good 90s crime thriller with great heavyweight actors, lots of familiar 90s faces. It doesn't scrimp. It really sticks the landing. There's kind of a climax that is really, there's a shot and the sound design is done in a certain way to do with like Sylvester Stallone's hearing. That's really kind of interesting. I think it's a really solid movie. Nice. I think it should be mentioned in the same breath as kind of the other crime films of the 90s.
But for some reason isn't.
So I guess because it's not made by Scorsese. But it has all those ingredients. Also, if you've ever seen The Sopranos, like 10 people who are in The Sopranos are in this movie.
Oh, nice.
Just like wandering around. Class but it's made Sopranos. just before it. So yeah. I'm like, if you like New York, New Jersey set crime thrillers from the 90s, this is for you.
Straight up the street. Oh, nice. Great recommendation. You know what's a really... funny but interesting Ray Liotta performance is in the film Wild Hogs with John Travolta and Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah.
I think Martin Lawrence is it?
And William H. Macy.
Yes. Yeah. And Ray Liotta plays the aggressive, violent head of a biker gang, and they're like middle class bikers. But it's very Disney-ified, so he's not swearing or he's not really violent, but it's all implied that he's really dangerous. But it's actually a very like funny but memorable Ray Liotta performance in that film.
Yeah.
It's like the film is soft around the edges, but they got the hard guy who actually plays those actual roles to be in it. It's just really reminding me of that film.
It reminds me that I think the Ray Liotta's casting in Marriage Story was brilliant.
Oh, because
he's got the sharp eyes. That is a stupid question. Do not talk to me about that.
Yeah. I am $700 an hour. Yeah. Do not ask me stupid questions. If you have questions, ask him. He is $400 an hour. So good.
I can't even close to afford this.
Yeah. I've been told that I need to watch Black Bear on Apple TV
Plus.
I've
heard great
things,
Taron
Egerton, Paul Walterhouse, and Ray Liotta. I've heard it's fantastic. Yeah. So
slightly slept on series that a lot of people have said is great.
Yeah. So slept on series and a slept on film with Copland there. So there you go. Yeah. An American movie double bill, Ambulance and Copland.
Guys, that was the bonus. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget, if you haven't listened to 122, go and check that out. We'll be back next week. See you next week. New episode's Wednesday.
See you next week.
My brain's melting. I'm done.
Bye. Bye.